Hello, everybody, and welcome to the winter instalment of the Historics podcast. We are recording this just ahead of our final auction of the year. We are at the Brooklands Racing Circuit, and I'm joined, as ever, by auction expert Matthew Priddy.
Hello.
And YouTuber and car fan Tom Exton.
Hello.
Hello, boys.
Since you've been relegated from YouTube expert, like, so now just car expert.
It was like extraordinaire or superstar before, and yes. It's just gradually...
You're sort of coming down to my level.
Well, the thing is, you used to write them, your intros for yourself, and now I'm writing them.
Okay, yeah. So it's getting more honest then. Fine. Right.
Right, coming up in this podcast, we are wrapping things up in the festive season, and we now make the tenuous link between Christmas pullovers and being pulled over in your car. And as the Football World Cup starts, and it sorts the men from the boys very much, then we add cars into that mix, and we have a look at which country makes which. Motors. Ooh. And it's not the obvious ones.
Good.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Plus, we are here at Brooklands, which once was a thriving motor racing circuit, and I share a few facts about it as well, which I find quite fascinating. And right at the end, we're going to finish off with some Christmas gags. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Are you ready?
We're ready. Are you ready?
Ready. First of all, though, a catch-up. What have you all been doing?
Well, busy consigning, really. This sale comes right before Christmas, and everyone knows that there isn't another sale until March, which seems a long way away. So naturally, everyone's cramming it in. So it's been jaunting around the place, checking out people's cars, quickly valuing, making sure we can get them to market. And of course, a bit of videoing, which we did a couple of weeks back with the 930 and the Di Tommaso. So it's just been work, 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 really. My idea is work, 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 finish this auction and then just disappear somewhere. Hide, because no one wants to speak to me at Christmas.
What about your family?
Them included, okay, yes. Cool. Yes. Paramount, only on my own.
Tom, what about you?
I can't remember really what I've been doing since the last podcast. Various Formula Ones. I went to Mexico.
Oh, nice.
The Formula One over there. Yeah, well, I didn't do anything Formula One-wise. I was just there spectating upon it. I've been to Switzerland working as well. Did some stuff over there, and I'm sure there was another Formula One in Italy or something.
Oh, so blasé.
I know, it all rolls into one, Matthew, you see. It's, you know, just
I've been in Switzerland with watches, Formula One, oh.
It's just one big depressing mulch, really.
Well, you should be quite good then in our little quiz of where cars come from. Have you dipped around various countries?
I'm not sure you can draw that from it. I'm not sure how much attention I was paying.
I will be drawing from that.
Okay, well, we'll wish myself luck with that one. And obviously I was filming last week or so with the 930 Turbo Di Tommaso and the AC and whatnot, which was a lot of fun.
And you can see that on the Historics YouTube channel.
You can, absolutely. Yes. It's good, actually, that. So I've noticed since I've been here as well, we've got more red cars. Red cars everywhere.
It is red. Well, yes. It's Christmas, isn't it? Come on.
There you go. Which brings us on to your next subject,
doesn't it? It does bring us on beautifully. The Christmas pullovers. Who's got one?
I've got one for my dog.
Yes!
We make him wear it every year.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. And he looks super cute in it.
Does it have dangly bits, noisy bits?
And the jumper?
No, all of the above.
It's just a nice little jumper. He puts it on, looks nice and snug. Which it's a bit mean when the fire's also then going and the poor thing's like keeling over. But no, it's a really cute little thing. He's a little Irish terrier. And he's popping him in his little Christmas jumper and it's like accessorising the house.
Yeah. Tom?
I've got a Father Christmas outfit for my little bulldog and I think I've got some sort of fairy outfit for the rescue, but I don't have anything for myself. I'm not very festive at all.
You need a Father Christmas onesie and a fairy onesie.
For a minute, I thought he was going to say, I've got a Father Christmas outfit, which I use in between the seasons. Yeah. I thought for yourself.
It's just comfy. I feel relaxed in it.
I love that. You do need to get something for yourself.
I know.
That would be...
I used to. When I was working in office, we'd have Christmas jumper day.
Yeah.
So you'd have to get one. Otherwise, I don't know, or you'd be fired or something. So.
Yeah.
But these days, no. But I will. I'll get into the spirit this year. I'll try.
Excellent.
What about you?
I have two. Yeah, one matchy-matchy with the family, which we only got last year, and
Did you do like a family photo and put it out to all the...
No, we didn't.
A bit like the American, a very American
isn't it? Yeah, no, we don't do that.
No, we don't do that. This year, maybe.
However, great idea. and then our smooth link into have you ever been pulled over
clever.
Whilst driving? Or even in the passenger seat?
In terms of festive pullover stories, no. I was once hit by an ambulance on Christmas Eve. So I guess there's an element of being sort of
in the wrong place.
I don't know. I was actually all right, but this, I can't be bothered to go into it, but I've just whacked out of the blue. It was chaos. But in terms of being pulled over, no.
Have you not?
But did you interrupt the ambulance people's emergency journey at all?
Well, I didn't. I was involved, but I didn't interrupt. They interrupted themselves by not, you know, not doing
Did they have their
they,
noises and lights
they
on?
They did, yeah.
Okay.
Right, so you were trying to assign blame here to our emergency services, Thomas. It sounds like you were fully at fault.
I don't want to throw them under the bus, but it wasn't my fault.
Should we move on?
Yes, let's move on. I've dragged the whole thing into a thoroughly unfestive situation. This is what happens. Don't talk to me about Christmas. I have only depressing Christmas stories. That's it. Anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yourself or Matthew?
I got pulled over, strangely, I was driving, I think it was near Weybridge, and I got pulled over just after some traffic lights. You know, all the lights, I was like, what's going on here? Sort of completely confused, really, pulled over. So the officer wanders out, and I think I was in an old BMW X3, got a family wagon, so it wasn't one of our auction cars, nothing special. And he sort of, I went the window down, hello, yes. It's our cameras are telling me you're not taxed. And I'm saying, no, that's rubbish. Of course I'd be taxed. Of course I've got vehicle tax. I work in this industry. of course I'd know about it. And he's looking at me, looking at the car and going, yeah, he doesn't. He seems so shocked. He must have attacked. This must be something wrong with the computer. He sort of looked confused at me. I looked confused at him for a little bit. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, just check when you get home and maybe. He didn't even write me a producer. I sort of, as I then drove home, got more and more sort of thing in my head thinking, have I got tax? I must have tax. I must have vehicle tax. No, I must have tax. Of course I've got this. Went home, checked. 3 months.
Really?
Because this was before, it wasn't really before, but I didn't do the month by month thing. Mm. So you'd pay every year, didn't get the reminder, or didn't see
I've
the
I've had
reminder.
That so many times, months and months without it, you know,
I was
MOTs,
amazed
all sorts.
How I'd driven for that long without an ANPR camera or something other than that firing off. Yeah. But I was so surprised, and he was so surprised, they just let me go. Think nothing of it.
Wow. That it must be your angelic
must be.
Face.
They probably recognised you, to be fair.
This was pre all of my fame.
Now you'd definitely get a ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that was the oddest pull over. I mean, other than that, I've been pulled over a couple of times in classics and things, but predominantly they're just sort of checking I'm okay.
Yeah.
Are you still okay driving that car? Yeah. Yeah. You'll be all right, okay. Yeah.
One of my most frustrating ones was when the new mobile phone laws were coming in. Mm. They came in, I think, 2003, you weren't allowed to use a mobile phone. And a few months before that actually came about, there was sort of some police presence saying, look, you know, we are going to start implementing this. And I got pulled over and severely reprimanded for using my phone, which I don't do anymore. And then about a day later, my brother got done as well. And he sort of seemed to get away more scot-free than I did, which was always a little bit
annoying. The odd thing now is, of course, is everyone uses their phone more because they put the satellite navigation on it. Unless you've got CarPlay, or even if you do, it's all through your phone.
Yeah.
So the moment you're in your phone, you're fine.
Yeah. I don't understand why you can... So CarPlay is your iPhone screen.
Yes.
Or your Android screen.
With all your contacts, all
everything's
your music in
there. Yes. And you can chit-chat away on WhatsApp and whatever you want using your phone, like talking to it and prodding it and
using
whatever.
Using a Siri call.
And you can be changing the aircon and doing your phone and this, that and the other. Surely that screen should just be off when you're driving. I mean, I don't want it to be. I like the fact you can use it all, but I don't understand. You can be in the depths of Spotify looking for some sort of nonsense, and that's fine, but you can't prod your phone. You can't even check the time on it.
Well, everyone would
have both should be banned.
Everyone would have experienced this, even at home, that when you're on a telephone call on your hands-free kit, and you finish that phone call and think, I can't remember the last 45 minutes of my journey.
Yep.
I don't remember.
It's because your head is being taken away totally somewhere else.
Yeah.
For example, if I'm your wife, let's just pretend here, let's role play. Excellent.
I'll go.
No, I'm going to get you involved.
I dare.
So I'm ringing you. Matthew, on your way home, can you get me a pint of milk, please? You know where the supermarket is?
Mm-hmm.
So when you stop at the supermarket, just park right outside. And when you go into the supermarket, go to the third aisle on the right next to the butter. Where's your head right now?
It is actually in the third aisle from the left of the right butter. Or why the hell is my wife calling me yet again?
Meantime, you have travelled a fair few
hundred
yards.
Five junctions up the M25, done numerous lane changes, probably sworn at people, and don't remember a thing.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Phones should, they really should be banned. There should be some locking mechanism.
It could do it, but I think the problem is, yes, now, as they say, everything runs through your phone because that's now your stereo system, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. But then it also is quite impressive about how the human brain can do so many of those multiple functions, including driving, which is a complex thing to do. I know we've all done it for many, many years. But when you first learn, and you're doing that at 70 miles an hour, never more, of course, never. And figuring out the third aisle from the left where the milk is, it's pretty impressive until you crash into an ambulance.
I was crashed into you, Matthew. Shouldn't have said anything. Should have said no stories on that front.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's move on, shall we? So, the World Cup is up and running. What countries are represented in the auction that we have? Do we have almost every country, do you think? Germany, Italy, all the usuals.
Italy aren't there, but we've got them well represented. But they didn't make it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, on the football pitch. Mm, yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Good start.
Right, so yeah, plenty of English. Obviously the Germans. Have we got any Swedish? Are they Sweden? Aren't there either? So we're all right. We're clear there. We're doing well, aren't we? What else have we got? There's no one from Ecuador in the showroom.
Do we have any Iranian cars?
No. You're going to have to help us with some of the more obscure car manufacturers now. I'm looking around.
I mean, Tom, when you think about a country that a car comes from, does that make you feel warmer towards it, for example, like Italy, Ferrari, Mercedes, Germany?
Yeah, I think there's obviously connotations that come, you know, German cars, they won't break, but potentially a little bit more sterile. And then you've got Italian cars, which are obviously full of
will
passion
break.
And may well break, but you'll enjoy those periods between breakages, potentially more than you would with this German counterpart. So you've got those stereotypes, and I do think that there's a lot of there's no smoke without fire there. I do think that definitely carries through. But
what about Britain? When you think about British cars, what does that?
So I was just about to say French and everything's slightly bonkers,
which is good.
It's a bit like the 1920s thing. It was slightly bonkers, aren't they?
Yeah.
And also brake.
Yeah.
British though, it is very much led by that sort of gentleman's car, or you know everything. You know, think of Austin Healey's, Aston Martin's, Jaguars. We always come to those, or they're always that sort of shed build or that sort of stiff upper lip, and that's very much the feeling. But I think because of that, I think the reliability thing is sort of tailed away.
You mean got better?
Yeah, yeah. Whereas
JLR of reliability.
You haven't got any on order then?
I've actually came here today in a 15-year-old 911 as opposed to my Range Rover, because it was dead today. Just a sight. I think the alternator's packed up.
But we've said this before.
Perfect.
But again, Land Rover, Jaguar Land Rover, it's been bought and because of that Britishness of its feel, and it's a bit like that sort of they still hark back to that feeling of British gentleman's car, or it's a bit niche, a bit kitsch, a bit sort of like minis and so on. So you get that feeling of
MGBs and Spitfires and TVRs. All,
the idea is that if you buy a British car, it's because you like cars.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the best analogy.
Yeah, enthusiastic about
motoring. So you actually like, you're a bit of a petrol head if you buy a British car.
Yeah.
Germanic cars, I think you're right, it's sort of almost the sensible choice.
Yeah.
Italian cars, all the flair. French means you're slightly bonkers. You know, the Scandinavians means you're probably an architect.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no. And if you buy Korean or Japanese, you're probably just very staid to cars. It's a bit dull, but
you're just interested in things that work. Consistently.
Yeah.
And perform a function incredibly efficiently. Yeah.
So, talking of JLR, the owners at the moment are
they? Go on, you should know this. I don't know. I think, is it
Tata?
Is it Tata?
Which is an Indian company.
Indian, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Since 2008. Can you name an Indian car from Tata?
No. I don't think I've certainly never sold one.
No.
Tigor, OR, Tigor or a Harrier could be two of the choices
they
that you could have
really,
up with.
They sound really, really good.
Yeah. First one sounds like an Indian beer.
Oh, yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
I've never driven a Tata.
Have you not?
No. I'd like
right, that's
to
a
then.
Challenge.
Would you?
For next year.
Yeah.
For this
Google
time.
Some pictures before you start throwing around
this
one.
This time next year, someone has to have driven one. I'm going to have a look on Auto Trader later and buy one.
Right, well, other cars, companies, then, a quick whip around the world. BAC. Where does BAC come
they're
from?
They're Brits, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah,
what
BAC
does BAC
Mono.
Stand for?
British?
You got the BR, right?
Big.
If you put the BR and the big together, what do you get?
BR and the big.
BR from the British.
Yeah. Brig.
And big. Yes.
Brigg.
Briggs Automotive Company.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The founding brothers are Neil and Ian Briggs, and they're British based in Liverpool.
Sorry, okay. Chaps.
Let us go
It's never good when I fail at the classic ones.
No, they're not classics. There's that BAC Mono thing,
exactly,
isn't it? The little one-seater
motorbike.
Modern one.
I've driven one of them. They're great.
They are super duper.
Really good.
Dacia. Where's Dacia from originally?
Dacia originally was...
Isn't it like Eastern Europe?
Isn't it like...
No, pass.
If you're listening to this or watching, can you guess? Romania.
Oh,
yeah, no, it's a highlight. It was an interesting insight to me. In 1966, it was founded, and then Renault took it over in 1996, which is why we have the tie-up now with Dacia and Renault. Okay, Neo. Where's Neo from around the world?
Chinese lot, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah.
And what do they produce?
Crazy electric cars.
Well, they're coming. Yeah, they're coming to the UK next year. I drove some last year, and they are really good.
Are they?
Yeah, really good. They've got a really interesting battery swapping.
It's amazing
system.
How that's all going to change, is it? Because technology companies coming big into the automotive industry because they've stolen the march.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting.
Okay, Spyker. Where's Spyker come from?
They're Dutch.
Yeah.
And basically, the R8, wasn't it? That Spyker.
Yeah, and when you get inside them, they are just obsessively trying to be like an aircraft inside.
Well,
it's quite cool.
Yeah, they are really cool. It's like a Pagani mixed with an R8. With a Spyker badge on.
We sold one
which
here,
is no bad thing.
I think here last year, and sold really well. Lots of people really did
really
love
cool.
it. But when you get inside, it's a really special place to sit inside. I always likened it to the old Alfa Romeos. It was always twice as much attention put into the inside, but felt a bit almost like a Pagani sort of style.
Yeah.
I think it was very bespoke switch gear, but underneath was something completely different. But yeah, it was quite cool. I did.
Well,
like
you mentioned aircraft, and it's no wonder because they also made aircraft as a company, and even their badge is some propeller.
Yes.
Yeah.
Propeller with the wheel, and it was launched in 1880 by two Dutch brothers who were blacksmiths.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
Didn't realize the brand was that old.
Okay. Zenos. Where's Zenos from in the world?
Oh, I don't know. Greece.
Okay. Yeah. Why not?
Sounds like a Greek island, doesn't
it? It does, doesn't it?
Going to Zenos this summer. Yeah, a little Greek island. Lovely little taverns on it.
So I've got absolutely no idea. Let's pick out... the problem is I know where it isn't, so I'm trying to think of something that it could be.
Okay.
No, Spain.
Okay.
Would you have known this if it wasn't on your sheet?
I'm afraid I would.
Oh, that's annoying.
Norfolk. England.
Really?
Yeah.
Not quite as exotic as one guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was created from two people who both worked at Lotus and Caterham together. So
who were Greek and owned a taverna.
So they're lightweight sports cars, and they produce something called an E10, which I think is a bit of a love child between a Dodge Viper and a Renault Sport Spider, if you can imagine.
Blimey.
That. I know.
Blimey, yeah, that
sounds bonkers.
It's like a Rhodesian Ridgeback and an Irish Terrier. That's a sort of
Let's move on, shall we?
In a Christmas jumper.
Ford. Ford. Where does Ford come from?
America.
Yeah. But don't you think that it is one of those companies that feels British?
That's because of its working class origins. I think that probably feels in any English speaking country that sells Ford, it feels like it's part of the people.
Yeah.
But
backbone of Britain and all that with the old transit.
Transit's
marketing
here.
Teams that played a blinder.
But I think strangely, it's played a blinder in the mass producing, but I don't think they cannot get out of that feel for the people's car. Because whenever I see the Mustangs or any of the really, if they make anything really fabulous, I think they struggle against their own brand because they're so good at being the car for everyone. The Transits, the Fiestas,
the Focus.
I mean, they're so good at that when they. The GT40, to me, I feel like it doesn't get the credit it deserves, the new GT40, should I say, because it's a Ford.
It's also $500,000, $600,000. I mean, it's no better than a 720S that's $140,000, arguably worse.
But stick a different badge on it. I think then people respect it, I think, more in those realms.
They got rid of the Fiesta, haven't they?
I know, this is such a sad thing. I'm a Mark 1 Fiesta owner, and the Fiesta was built in many countries, one of which was in England at Dagenham in good old Essex, from 1977 actually, which was the year after the Fiesta's launch, all the way through to 2002. So we had a good, you know, good strong connection in this country with the Fiesta, and they sold over 20 million. And from next year, that's it. Ciao, ciao. And Ford has made a wonderful advert that I'm sure you will see at some point about, you know, a child and a dad sort of telling the story about the Fiesta, and then they sort of closed the book on the chapter. And I was almost, I did actually have a tiny tear in my eye about the saying goodbye to a car, and they're like, oh, is that the end of the story? And they're like, no, it's just another chapter, which gives you some lovely hope. But I really was quite, I'm quite sad about it. Because everyone's had a Fiesta at some point in the family, somewhere along the line.
First car.
Yeah, exactly. Well, can we determine from that little roundup who's going to win the World Cup?
Well, the most, I think the most heavily represented cars here between Germany and England.
Okay. Oh, are they? Mm.
So, is that an omen?
Could well be.
Actually, I don't know where they can meet each other, but I'll have to ask my son that. He knows more than I do, but... Yeah, I think...
Oh, I've got a poster up at home on the wall.
I've got a little book and he's filling out all the scores, bless him. So, yeah, he knows more than me. But let's hope it comes home.
Yeah,
football's
exactly.
coming home.
And then just some stats on Brooklands then. What are your thoughts on Brooklands? When you think about Brooklands, the former wonderful racing circuit, what do you think about it?
It's the banking. It's seeing those original cars. And when you go and stand on top of that banking and then envisage driving something... You know, older than that old Renault over there,
with no seat belt, barely any suspension,
and it is. And you look at it, and well, that's how it looks. Oh, it's because it's old. No, that's pretty much what it was like. It would have been bouncing along like this, you know, 80 miles an hour.
And each section of that concrete has got a seam in it, so it would have been
proper Friday afternoon job.
So
that.
It reminds me a bit like when you go to
have paid the contractors. It's rubbish.
It's a bit like when you go to Goodwood and you see them driving the old cars really fast, and you just realise how dangerous motorsport was and how real it was. And I don't want to discredit modern motor cars because it's just incredibly quick, but literally every single time they turn the ignition key, that's really properly taking your life into your own hands. And that's what I always think of whenever I think of Brooklands. I always think of that, and obviously it now encapsulates car showrooms, Tesco's and all sorts, which is a bit sacrilegious.
I know,
really.
You come out of a supermarket and you pull out of the car park and you look up and there is the banking.
Yeah.
And that my grandfather raced here in a Fraser Nash in the 30s, and I just think, wow, he's, you know, it's very special.
I'm
pulling out of a supermarket car park.
Well, I don't mind here because obviously there's a track here, so at least this motor heritage is sort of in keeping, but I generally think they should just bulldoze everything inside here and reconstitute the track. Yeah. It's such a massive part of English motoring history.
Yeah.
It seems madness that we allow it to have got to this state. It's now, in fairness to Brooklands, they have now got lottery grants and they're starting to, they've redone the start-finish straight, but it's extremely expensive. But it's madness to me that isn't, you know, kept for generations to come.
Smash it down and have another British F1 here?
No.
Is that a sensible plan? Can F1s do that bank?
Well, that's the thing. You can get almost 3 miles of banking. Mm. That's what the circuit was. I mean, this is when IndyCar meets.
But have you been stuck in the traffic in Weybridge before? Do you imagine?
Yeah.
I don't fancy that.
Great. But just to, it was 1907 to 1939 that races were held here.
Wow.
I know. And it was also Britain's largest aircraft manufacturing centre by 1918. And just 11 days after opening, it held the world's first 24-hour race.
Really?
Imagine 24 hours in cars of that ilk. On banked up.
On those boom, boom, boom. It's like that bit on the M25. It does my head in.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
In a modern car.
Except you're like that.
Yeah. I've done a 24-hour race in a Citroën 2CV, okay, and that was tough enough. But at least I had some kind of.
The reason they went so fast, the reason they go so fast was just to try and keep the G-force, to keep them in their seats. If you're going slow, you'd be holding onto the steering wheel, wouldn't you? Be sliding down. It's very evocative. Actually, a bit like when you see things like on the front cover and you see old motoring and you just think, you know, that's sliding sideways, and it's almost tantamount to being out of control.
Yeah. But don't also forget that cars weren't quite as fast.
No.
And as powerful.
Guess
even
it would feel as
massive
fast.
You're basically
out on the road.
I drove there's a Jaguar XK150 here, and I drove it over here from our showroom over here. And you get up above 40, 50 miles an hour, and you suddenly realise you may as well be doing 150 in a modern supercar because the brakes aren't going to quickly stop
you.
You
don't want to go faster, do you?
No. Like,
my slowing down plan is not a good one. I'm quite happy at 30, 40.
Yeah. Good.
Like that. Good on them.
Yeah.
Good old boys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right then, we will just end this podcast with some jokes.
Oof.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Christmas jokes, obviously, just to get us all wrapped up into the festive.
Remember, it's all in the delivery, Vicky.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Do you want to do it?
No. Have we got any sort of canned laughter just for the camera, just in case?
I'm sure I can.
I can pretend to be amused, but
could you?
Yeah.
And could you look like you're amused as well?
I can try.
How much did Santa pay for his sleigh?
I don't know, Vicky.
Nothing. It was on the house. Thank you. What do donkeys send out near Christmas?
Something to do with turkeys.
Yeah.
Mule-tide greetings.
Oh, God. Have you opened up a box of crackers early? You have, haven't you?
What did the snowman say to the aggressive carrot?
The snowman to the aggressive carrot? Something about his nose? Oh, I don't know.
I'm not bright enough to work
out. Get out of my face! I think that was a real laugh.
It was more you than what you said.
I think it was fear. It was having aggression.
It was nervous laughter.
Oh, do you want another one or you don't?
No, keep going. No, we're going to make you keep going.
How did the bauble know she was addicted to Christmas?
I don't know.
She'd been hooked on Christmas trees all her life.
Oh, clever.
What do you get if you eat Christmas decorations? Everyone knows this. Come on.
Tinselitis.
Yes!
Yes!
Thank you very much, boys, for joining together for the romp that we've had. Thank you very much indeed for listening, for watching. If you want to see more, what can they do? Or where can they look and search?
Yes, Vicky, good point. They can find us, obviously, on YouTube. It's probably where you're watching us now. If you're listening on streaming platforms, do say subscribe or follow, whatever it is. But you can also follow Historics on Instagram, where you will see a little snapshot of the cars arriving at the next auction. Will they not, Matthew?
They will.
Make sure you're following on all platforms, because there's lots going on depending on the platform.
Oh, thank you so much. Until the next pod.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.